hour is far spent. Let us refer back to our scripture that was read this morning in the book of 2 Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, starting at the 16th verse. I'm reading from the King James Version. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want to preach for a few minutes this morning around the topic, the making of an ambassador. Amen. The making of an ambassador. God, we come declaring that if you don't preach, there won't be any preaching. We come, God, asking you to speak to us because we wait to hear a word from you. Say a word, God, that lifts up bowed down heads. Pray, say a word, Lord God, that causes somebody to come crying today, what must I do to be saved? Be glorified, God, in this moment, that your name, your grace, and your mercy might be the only thing, and that your servant may be nothing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't wake up every day feeling as if I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes in the Bible, when you read the word, it presents a personal paradox. It says here that we, in verse 20, are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech us that we become reconciled to God. I don't have any problem being an ambassador. That works fine for me. I show up and shake hands and hug folk and kiss folk on the cheek. That's all day, every day for me. The paradox comes in that because in order to be an ambassador, there's some personal inside work that I've got to do. Amen. If I read the scripture correctly, it says, you are an ambassador, but the way you are an ambassador is to be reconciled to God. It's this reconciling thing. That's an issue. Reconciling. Touch your neighbor and say, reconciling. We got some issues with reconciling. Amen. Amen. Reconciling. Reconciling is bringing things together and making them right. We got bringing things together problems. And we've got some making things right problems. Come on, somebody. I want to call out one of our faithful workers here. And I told her I was going to do this in the morning because I don't seek to embarrass her. She's a very, very humble woman. But we've got one of the best reconcilers in the whole wide world, amen, in Sister Ray Hopkins. I believe she does well reconciling people. I think she does very well reconciling herself. But the way I see her reconciling ministry most prevalently here is that Ray Hopkins is the person who balances the books at this church. And let me just say this. We've got money coming from, so she's the person who counts our pennies. Amen. Down to the penny. And just let me put a commercial in. I pray that we move from the state where we're giving pennies to the fact that she's counting dollars. Amen. I miss some people. It's all right. It's going to catch up with you. But Ray Hopkins is this way. Ray Hopkins will take hundreds of thousands of dollars in figures and facts and reconcile them, put them together to say, is it right? Is what we spent in line with what came in? And can I identify responsibly where every penny of this money is at this moment in time? My responsibility on the finance ministry is to make sure that I know where every penny is. She doesn't feel right if even a cent ain't right. This woman won't go to sleep. Worrying over a penny. I don't even know where the pennies are in my house. But because she has been called by God to this work to do the business of reconciling, she takes all of what's ever out there and brings it together and make sure that down to the penny, it is right. Yes. It is set right that the spend and the put in are balancing out together. She worries about this. And if you've ever been to a finance ministry meeting, you know, Sister Ray comes with a report that's about this thick. I'm not lying. We look at the report and just shake our heads. What do you want me to do with this? But she wants us to know that she has been reconciled. The hard work, listen to me, of reconciliation has been done. And here are the results of my work. Uh-huh. And just to look at the numbers and say, oh, that's great. We got a lot of money. It looks like it's in order is one thing. But to make it right requires some sacrifice. She's not worried about y'all asking her, did she receive the money and is it in the bank? That's fine. But the question about, have you done the work to make sure that it's right where it is her concern. We are ambassadors who are called first to be reconciled to God. That's why we have a hard time with being ambassadors. All of us would love to be an ambassador, but we've not done the reconciliation work. Reconciliation means a bunch of things, and if you look at the text, it starts here. If you're going to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you got to first be with Jesus Christ yourself. Mm-hmm. You must first reconcile your own life with Jesus Christ. This whole business of once you understood Jesus Christ one way, but now he's quickened you and has made you alive in him. He's brought you to a place where you've had to recognize how high and how holy he is and what he did in your life and did for you at no cost to you. And you humble yourself and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Hard work of reconciling my life. And it's just the beginning. Anybody who's trying to live saved knows that there are also moments that come, and they seem to come more frequently, and they seem to come when you don't want them to come, where Christ is calling you back to the point where you first believed. Yes. To ask you, are you getting it right today? Yes. Here's how I am. Let me confess. Y'all don't like to be transparent, so I have to for everybody. Yes. I'm all right with it. I don't care what y'all think about me, no way. Any of y'all got heaven to put me in? I'm just asking while I'm here, in case I need to worry about you. So here's the deal. If you leave me in my natural self,
I think even as saved as I am, my natural man is not dead. Amen. All that stuff you were doing, the reason why you were doing it when you were before your Christ days is still in you. That hasn't gone anywhere. I just want you to know. If you were drinking it before, there may come a day when you walk around the corner by that bar and get that feeling again. Some of y'all ain't stopped no way. Look at me like I'm crazy. I smell it on your breath. See, your natural man is not dead. God is not a gangster. God doesn't show up and grab you by the back of your neck and tell you, you better get saved and you better get your life right. When he shows up and says, I'm going to give you the opportunity to get it right. Yeah. I've done all the work for you. I've got the power to get it done. But if you don't want it, I can't give it to you. And he invites us to be reconciled, to be put together with him. And so what he does to us, instead of moving everything away, he adds to us a spirit nature. Amen. Some capacity, some space for him to help us be like him. Amen. It's the space where we work out our holiness, where we work out our soul salvation in spirit and truth. It's the space where when you get out of bed in the morning, you feel an urge just to talk to him a little while. Yeah. It's the space where when they hand you the pink slip, you don't worry about it, you just call on the name of the Lord. Amen. It's the space where when somebody does you dead wrong, and in your natural self, you would have cussed them out, talked about their mother, and smacked them upside the head. All you can just say is, I love you instead. It's in that space that God wants to begin working. And the more you give to God your time and attention and your devotion, the more your spirit man grows. But the more you pay attention to that nonsense you used to be in. Every time you go buy the 7-Eleven, you got to get a lottery ticket. And you don't cuss them out, but you cussing them under your breath. Every time you have an opportunity to get angry, it feels good to you to get angry. So you go ahead as long as you stay in your natural self is going to grow. Yes. Whatever you feed the most in your spirit grows the most. This is the hard work of reconciliation. You got to get things together and get them right with God yourself. How many know you can't lead where you don't go? And it says when you do that, when you come to Christ to get reconciled, and this is some good news. I'm about to run all over the church just thinking about this. It says this, you become a brand new creature. Brand spanking new. The old stuff passes away and everything becomes new. Y'all don't remember when you first got saved and all you could see was God in everything, everywhere. There was nothing but good in the world. And when somebody even looked at you wrong, it didn't even matter because you were hungry and thirsty for God and God was feeding you. What happened? What happened from that time till now? We stopped doing the work of reconciliation that needs to happen. To be much for God, you must be much with God. Amen. Then the word says this. The main thing you do as a Christian, the main business we are in, is in the reconciling business. You thought that your job was to be chair of the ushers ministry and to sing on the choir and to be on the finance ministry or to be a lay servant. That's all good, but that ain't why you're here. Yeah. you thought it was to come here and hear the groove at the Grove and listen to some of these preachers preach. You thought that this was a habit that your family's been carrying on for decades and generations. You come to Emory Grove on Sunday for 2 hours and you can check the holy box off.
Yeah.
Folks will think you're a fine, upstanding citizen. God, I'm a member of the Emory Grove Church. And my mama and them, and my great grandmama and them, we've been Emory Grove. We are to be in the business of reconciliation all day, every day. Once we are reconciled, our job, the only thing we do here, is to reconcile other people. Listen, here's why. It says this. Everything is of God. I'm in 18 now. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, you ain't saved for no reason. God didn't waste all that blood and all that suffering on you just so you can say, hey, I'm saved, look at me. God put all that grace out on you and reconciled you and brought him back into himself by the blood of Jesus Christ so that you could become a reconciler. To wit, because of all that, God was in Christ, body and blood, in Christ, suffering and shame, in Christ, loved us to death, in Christ, thought we were worth it enough. God was in Christ reconciling all of us to him. Don't you think if God went through all of this, his only begotten son, one of a kind in the whole world, to reconcile you to him, don't you think he would want you while you're in him to be reconciling somebody else? When we wake up in the morning and claim the blood of Jesus over our life and over our day, we're making a commitment to Jesus Christ to go reconcile somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody might be in your house and need some reconciling today. Boo Boo and Shaquique and them. With their pants hanging down and skirts up to their crotch and hair all orange and bubblegum chewing and potato chip smacking, non-grammar having, never been to church because y'all ain't brought them. They need some reconciling. Somebody in here who knows Jesus Christ ought to put their hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm reconciling you to God because I have been reconciled. Somebody at your job needs reconciling. Listen, they might have done that scandalous thing to you at your job. Anybody had anything scandalous happen to them at the job? Oh, my God. I'm so glad I'm not the only one. God may have allowed them to do something scandalous to you so that he could have them raise their hand and say, I need reconciling. And instead of cussing them out, instead of talking about them at the water cooler, maybe we ought to be witnessing to them about the love of Jesus Christ. They need reconciling. That person we stepped over on the way to get here, just because they haven't had a bath in 3 days and they smell bad, just because they've been smoking on their pipe, just because they've been smoking weed, just because they've been drinking, doesn't mean that they're not worthy of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling all of us to himself. We need to be in the business of reconciling somebody. You can't be saved and sit up in Emory Grove Church and claim to be holy if you're not out there on that street reconciling somebody.
Amen.
Now then, we, everybody in here, if there's a mouse running through the wall, we
cockroach or beetle crawling under the rug. Everybody. We. If you joined church yesterday or been here 45 years, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. All the title loving people love this. Pop my collar. I'm an ambassador. I was born next to the projects in Crestmont, but I'm an ambassador. I got title. I got status. Huh? I got some swag when I go out here. I'm an ambassador. I've got the proper pedigree. I know I've been educated enough in Jesus Christ. I've grown up enough in his spirit. I'm an ambassador. You might have thought I was just Tim Warner, but I show up as God's ambassador. Listen, not only my own power, but some of power and authority has been placed on me. I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to sit down. Yeah. It says here that God did not impute our sins on us. Imputation. This idea that I can place the guilt of your sin and wrongdoings on you. Because I've got power to do that if I'm God. I can look at you and say, Tim Warner, you are a scandalous young adult. Mm-hmm. You took all that scholarship money from all those people who sacrificed for you in Crestmont when nobody had anything because they thought you were going to be something and gave you for college and tried to squander it in your first semester. I carry my guilt around on my shoulders this big. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I'm being transparent so you don't have to, okay? I ain't always been Pastor Warner. Mm-hmm. If you had known me in August of 1979 till about February of 1980, you would have thought something else about me than you think right now. Praise be to God. But God did not impute my nonsense on me. He did not place all my sin and all my dirt and all my mess on me. Here's how God works. Here's how God makes ambassadors out of us. While we are not qualified to be an ambassador, while we don't have the pedigree to be an ambassador, while we don't have the power to be an ambassador, God, instead of imputing our sin and guilt on us, imputes his righteousness on us. So that all that craziness I was in, God says, yeah, I see it, but my power is greater than yours. You are now righteous. Anybody in here been called righteous when they had no business being called righteous? I've been called righteous because I got up under the word of God and allowed the word of God to tell me who I am. I stopped listening to the world and all the world's messages and all the devil's messages about who I would be and who I was and begin saying that I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away, and behold, everything has become new. He greater is he that's in me than is greater in the world. I'm now an ambassador. For Jesus Christ. And so I become God's Henry Kissinger. Kissinger, I believe, was an Israeli Jew.
Yes, he was.
Who had mortal enemies with the Muslims in Palestine. We all around for this?
Nope.
I was here. You missed it. You were here, but you missed it. Henry Kissinger did something called shuttle diplomacy. Mm-hmm. Henry would get on a plane, getting the authority from Washington, D.C., and get on a plane and go where he used to be in Israel to find his enemies over in Palestine and would just shuttle back and forth. This is what Washington says we ought to be doing. Can't y'all all get along?
Can we get together? We're all better together. There's more for us when we get it together. And we're called to do spiritual shuttle diplomacy. God has taken us to his Washington, D.C., where all the power, he's brought us into the throne room of God. He's adopted us in our family and imputed his righteousness on us to send us back to the places where we were. Come on, somebody. Do you remember where you were when the blood of Jesus found you? He didn't save you from there to take you away to far places. He saved you to bring you back to those places, to talk to those people who are in the same situations you were in, to say, you know what? God has more for you. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Can't we get it together and get it to right? Get it right. You are no longer enemy with us. But God is trying to call you friend. Ambassadors. If you're going to be an ambassador, get reconciled yourself. Amen. And then do the work of the ambassador. The reason we do the work, the unction, the compulsion, the impulse to do the work comes from this reality. And I'm so glad this is Communion Sunday. Verse 21 says this: in Christ, he who knew no sin. Can you imagine being not just the Son of God, but the only Son of God? Heck, theologically, being God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Being God, loving humankind so much, sinful, crazy, jacked up as we all are. Knowing no sin, not needing to even be here, showing up in the form of a man to die for sinful people and become their sin and be sacrificed for them. I told you my guilt, my sin was this big. Under the blood of Jesus, my responsibility as an ambassador is every bit as big as the sin I was committing. Amen. If God has brought you from someplace, give God some praise if God brought you from someplace. If God has brought you from someplace, and all of that is this big, your responsibility as an ambassador for Christ, not under your own authority, but under his, is every bit as big. You can't come in here and sit on the blessing God gave you. It ought to be burning your behind. There ought to be some heat underneath you that make you get up and at least give him worship and praise and honor. It'll make you get up and get some running in your feet. Not so much that your worship gets cranked up here. I love worship and we ought to dance till we wear the hole in every rug in this place. I love all that. But I want some power in my feet to go reconcile somebody out there. 60% of the people, 60% of the people. Tap your neighbor and say, most everybody I know has no concept of God. Just don't even care. God who? What? You spend 2 hours a week on Sunday in church doing what? For what reason? Listen, I'm doing fine on my own. I don't even know that there is a God. Most people you know in this neighborhood don't know anything about God. And I'm talking to a room of people who are ambassadors whose job it is to reconcile those people. We got work. what God did for us ought to be enough to send us to go and get that done. Let's stand to our feet. Mr. Newman, I said I was only going to preach 15 minutes a day. I blew it again. While we're up, if you allow me to be a role in my role as an ambassador, I know under the sound of my voice that there are people who need to come together with God and to be set right with God. And I'm not offering you any power of my own to do it. I'm an ambassador. I'm bringing God's power and putting it